Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mark Bickley's been good enough to join me to have a chat about the rest of the weekend's games. Mark Bickley, AFL Nation commentator, part of tonight's call team. Thanks to rjsanderson.com.au, personal and business tax experts. You can catch tonight's game live on AFL Nation. Welcome to you, Mark. Great to have you back on.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm excited about tonight. So you got Adelaide bounced back to form last week against Essendon that bounced back to form last week.
Yeah, look, I think that's the interesting part about tonight. I think both sides have been a little bit hot and cold so far this year. And so the big question is, you know, and this is why it's such a difficult one to tip, is which version of your team is going to turn up. And I think if the Adelaide version from last week as opposed to the first 4 weeks turns up, that'll be good for Adelaide fans. And certainly if the Bombers, what we saw with them last week was very good as well. So I'm hoping both teams bring their best version and we're going to have a cracking game of footy.
Isaac Rankin, you love him in the midfield?
Oh, I think he just offers something different. You know, when you look at what Adelaide had gone with pretty much from late last year to early this year, Dawson, Crouch and Laird have been the mainstays in there. And they're all a little bit one pace. They don't have that burst speed, which a lot of the other sides do. So I think Rankin brings that. He's also got quick feet. Like, he's not dissimilar to what you see with Connor Rosie or Zach Butters from Port Adelaide, who have both been super for Port this year. So I think that's really important for Adelaide to have a bit of speed through there. And Jake Soligo has been the other one who's been really good the last 2 weeks. He's probably been Adelaide's best player the last couple of weeks, and he finds the footy in there and just has, you know, look, I think a bit more speed than some of the other guys I mentioned.
What's the weather like in Adelaide? I understand you've had a bit of rain as well.
Yeah, a little bit of rain this morning. I think that's all cleared now. We've got blue skies here, a bit of a breeze around the place, but I think it'll probably be high teens this evening, so pretty good for footy. And, I loved watching Adelaide play last week against Carlton. It was a high-scoring game, and I know that Essendon can bring that to the park as well, so I'm hoping we see a lot of goals kicked tonight.
How do you think Adelaide's going to end up at the end of the year, Mark? Whereabouts on the ladder? What kind of season do you think they can actually put together? Because it's still quite early.
It is. Like, my prediction was sort of bottom section of the eight at the start of the year. Now, that's probably been rocked a little bit because I didn't have teams like Geelong in the eight, and they've been fantastic so far. So, yeah, look, they've got a lot of work to do. They've had a reasonably tough draw at the start of this year, so it's a little bit too early to really sort of dictate where they're going to land. But they've got a couple of big weeks coming up. So they play Essendon this week, they've got North the week after, then they've got the showdown. So that's why tonight's game is so pivotal. You know, Essendon is a team that are probably eyeing off similar spots to where Adelaide are. So the games you play against clubs in similar positions are really important. And Adelaide have sort of failed a couple of tests. They dropped a game to Gold Coast. They've dropped a game to Fremantle as well, who are all in that sort of similar conversation in the bottom half of the eight. So they've got to start making up some of those games if they're going to be serious about making the final. So tonight, huge, huge night for them, and they need to get on a roll and win three or four in a row to get back to square with the ledger so they can attack the second half of the season with a bit of positivity.
What did you make of last night?
Well, I love watching last night's game. You're not quite sure what you're going to get when you watch the Bulldogs. You know, they're a bit like Essendon and Adelaide. You haven't quite built up the trust so far this year because they've been great when they've been on, but they've been really poor at different stages when they haven't played well. So I just enjoyed watching Norton play. I think he's such a watchable player. Their midfield got pretty busy as well. So disappointed with what we saw with St Kilda. Like, it's just dropped off a little bit the last couple of weeks. So, you know, they've got to, you know, get back together. I know Ross Lyon talked about the scheduling and how that's been tough for them. But, when you look at the Bulldogs side, it's sort of hard to not feel like they've underperformed a little bit. They've got some really good players, both this mix of sort of experienced and some really good young talent. If they can be a bit more consistent, then certainly they're going to finish in the eight this year.
Port Adelaide fans, should they start getting excited, or do you think it's going to be another year where they do get knocked over by the best of the best?
Yeah, look, that's the challenge for them, isn't it? And I think, you know, I'd like to think that a new captain in Connor Rosie, you know, vice-captain Zach Butters, it just feels like it's got a bit of a different feel about it. There's a bit more ownership from those guys now. So that I saw last year as a bit of a transitional year where those young guys, they became the best players in their team, but they still weren't the leaders of the team. And I think now they've really taken responsibility for that. The additions they've made this year have been really profound as well. Like they struggled in the ruck last year. Soldo's been great. They struggled down back. Radigalia and Zerk Thatcher look like they've filled that void as well. So I feel like they've just got so much more depth this year. But the challenge is beating those top sides, and that's where Port Adelaide have fallen short, particularly right towards the pointy end of the season. So no greater challenge than Collingwood at the MCG. Look, it's going to be a great matchup. Some really good midfield matchups: Butters and Rosie, Dacos and others, DeGoey. So yeah, can't wait to see that match tomorrow. Once again, I think Port Adelaide have taken that next step.
Yeah, I've got a sneaky suspicion they might have too, but it's so early in the season, so much can happen. If you had to pick your grand finalist now, who would it be? And off the back of that, Carlton and the Giants, who do you think will win this one? Because they've got to be in the reckoning too.
Yeah, look, at the start of the year, I had a Giants-Brisbane grand final. And so, as you said, it's early in the year. Brisbane have been a little bit indifferent at the start of the season, but look like they're getting back in some sort of shape. So I'm just going to stick with that at the moment. Couldn't be happier with my selection with the Giants. I reckon they look really good at the moment and well-placed. And I think Brisbane are always going to be hard to beat in Brisbane. They've had a win at the G last week, a really solid win. So, yeah, I just feel like if Brisbane can do enough to qualify in those top two spots again, those two home finals, it's a really solid passage to the grand final, isn't it, for those interstate teams that win that right. So, yeah, I'm happy with where I sit at the moment with Brisbane and the Giants at the minute.
So you think the Brisbane Lions should be the favourites against Geelong?
I think so. Geelong are interesting. I always look at the Geelong midfield and feel like they're not quite at the level of some of the other really top teams. I know Dangerfield comes back in this week, but you know they flip around their rucks. They're resting Reece Stanley this week. They've chopped and changed a little bit in that regard. And, I just feel like Brisbane are probably a bit more settled and just probably don't rely on as many stars as what Geelong do. You really feel like Hawkins and Cameron up forward are those real linchpins. I just feel like there's a bit more evenness about the Brisbane Lions.
Do you think Carlton will beat the Giants? I know you've tipped the Giants to make the grand final, but Carlton, I'm still trying to work Carlton out, and they've got a really good run to let us work them out in the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be really interesting to watch how they go against some of the top sides. I just wonder about their depth at the moment. They're starting to get some soft tissue injuries. We know they've got some long-term knee injuries, but then they lose Saad, they lose McGovern, and one other I think they lost last week as well to hamstring strain. So I just feel like that might be tested at the moment. And the Giants just, to me, look like they're going from strength to strength. Jesse Hogan's been a revelation in their forward half. I'm not really sure. I think Toby Green kicked a bag of five either last week or the week before, but up until then, really hadn't hit his straps. Their midfield looks really good. And, they showed even last week, even losing Sam Taylor there, their defence was pretty solid. I know they conceded some goals late, but I think they're really well placed, and I like what they're doing. They've got quality ball users who rebound strongly off half back, and now I feel like they're a much more dangerous sort of team with their front six going well. So yeah, I think the Giants will beat Carlton.
Another couple of teams that are contenders for the eight. We haven't talked about their games yet. One's Fremantle, one's the Gold Coast. I think Sydney will get there. So we all probably presume Sydney's going to get there. But out of the Gold Coast and Fremantle, who do you think could be the biggest riser this year?
Look, probably think the Gold Coast. I know Fremantle, they were really disappointing last year. And so far, they've probably, if you talk to any of the players that have played against them, they've been the hardest side to play against. But it's just that battle, isn't it, of, they've had a couple of narrow losses. But when you only kick 7 or 8 goals, I just wonder where that leaves you. You always leave the opposition feeling like, no matter if they're in front or behind, or if they've played well or they haven't played well, they're never that far out of the game. And that's what it proved to be with both Carlton and Port Adelaide. They were a couple of goals down, but just had a couple of good moments late in the game. Carlton had a bit of luck, obviously, as well. But they were able to get over the top of Fremantle. And I really think for Fremantle to go forward, they need to start scoring more. And like I said, 7 or 8 goals to be able to play that sort of hard defensive style they do is taxing. And unless you reward yourself when, you know, you're dominating the game. And against Port, I think in the second, they had 21 entries and kicked 2 goals, and Port had 10 entries and kicked 1. So when you're dominating the game, you've got to put that on the scoreboard, and that's just what Fremantle have battled with at the moment. And the Suns finished, I think they finished 14th last year. They lost their last game of the year to North Melbourne by about 7 goals. Now, we see where North are at the moment, and we see where the Suns are. So you've seen there's been a fairly big improvement in that regard. And with the introduction of Walter and Kohesi and Sharp and some of these guys that they've introduced who look like they're going to be really good players, I just feel like there's some more upside still to come, particularly with Damien Hardwick. If you use Adam Kingsley last year with the Giants, they were 3-7 after 10 rounds. And as the longer the season went, the more they understood what the coach was asking for, they got on a roll. I sort of think that maybe that similar scenario might happen at the Gold Coast with Damien Hardwick's style of play, a young team that's sort of building in confidence. I think they might be really solid in the back half of the year.
Yeah, I think this time it might actually be real. And Sam Mitchell and Alistair Clarkson are going to keep their jobs. I mean, their jobs are not under any pressure at all, but I do feel like there's a growing impatience for the supporter base of both North and Hawthorn watching this one unfold Sunday.
Yeah, I think so. I just feel like you want to start to see progress. And I know the game for the Hawks fans was against Collingwood 2 weeks earlier. I was actually at the game and called it. And their second half was outstanding and they fell just short. Had a shot to win the game but weren't able to finish off. But it was certainly a regression the week after against the Gold Coast Suns and against a team that was, you know, you couldn't argue that inexperience or, you know, the rebuilding part of it, you couldn't argue that against the Gold Coast because they had just as many young kids playing, but it was more about the attitude and the mentality that Gold Coast went about it. And it was in stark comparison to the way the Hawks went about it. So, you know, I think most fans are pretty patient when they can see there's baby steps and they can see that the progress is being made. But I guess, you know, like you said, Sam Mitchell is entering his fourth season. They've decided to take the pain and they've traded away some players and they've gone to the draft, but they're probably yet to see the green shoots that many of the supporters would like to see at this stage.
And in 2030, Bix, when we're looking for a 20th team, do you think Adelaide or SA would be a contender to make a bid? Do you think there's any chance or not?
I'm a not. At this stage, I reckon 2 clubs works pretty well. I just feel like there's other parts of Australia that would benefit more greatly from it. I'm a big fan of the Northern Territory. I just feel like we need something up in that part of the world to engage that footy base. There are so many people who love footy. It's a footy state. I know it's got some challenges there, but I just feel like it could be a game changer in regards to a whole range of community issues, a whole range of, you know, identity issues as well for that part of the world. And, you know, we can see the enormous impact already the AFL team has had on Tasmania, and we haven't kicked the ball in anger yet. That membership, you know, the sign-up of so many people, you know, it was like probably getting close to 200,000 people right now that just want to get behind it and want to see it succeed. And the Jack Jumpers have been amazing for Tassie, and it's helped, you know, you can see them get behind that and the identity and the pride that brings. I think the footy team will do that again and some. And I just feel like the Northern Territory probably needs that similar shot in the arm for so many reasons.
And do you see anyone beating Harley Reid for the Rising Star?
Not at this stage. Look, I've been really impressed with the young man from Melbourne, Windsor. I thought,
Caleb Windsor.
Really solid. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head.
Sam Darcy's a third-year player who's eligible. So he's got that going for him. He's got that advantage of being in the system 3 years now.
Yeah, well, look, I hard to not be impressed with him. You know, he was good again last night in terms of
Yeah.
Some of his contested marking. Someone described him as a unicorn. Might have been you, Dwayne. I don't know who it was. But he's 208 centimetres. And I think that takes some comprehending when you think about that. But the way he marks, the way he moves, I just feel like if we buy into the fact that it takes a little bit longer for the tall guys to develop, once he gets there in a year or two and his body fills out and you get some consistency and some strength, just think, you know, could be one of the best players in the competition. So whether that happens in 6, 8, 12, 14 weeks this year or whether that's another 18 months away, I'm not sure. But he could challenge if the Bulldogs get on a roll and he starts playing some, you know, consistent, you know, or starts playing games back-to-back, get some consistency about his about getting out on the park, I think he'll be a really strong contender.
Got a text here from WA. Who did you tip in the derby? Are you going Freo or the Eagles?
No, I'm going for Freo. I love what I saw with the Eagles last week, by the way. You know, just finally they can get some of their best players back on the park. Elliot Yeo was huge, and you know that Reed is starting to, you know, give fans some confidence. I'm glad we're starting to see, you know, some real interest again, and some, you know, the fact that there is a bit of competition there because it's been a little bit one-sided of late. So yeah, I'm hoping that it's going to be a close game, but I think Freeman will probably get that done.
Great to have you, Bix. We'll be hearing you tonight on AFL Nation. Thanks a lot for your time.
No worries, Dwayne. See ya.
Mark Bickley, AFL Nation commentator, superstar, Adelaide Crow, part of tonight's core team for RJ Sanderson and Associates, accountants and taxation specialists. Take the stress out of tax.